When we were kids, we didn't attend church. I didn't even know there was a higher power, especially one with more clout than my parents. My only inkling that there was such a thing came before Easter, when all of the other kids would go with their moms to pick out fancy dresses, yellow bonnets, and patent leather shoes and purses to match. The following Monday, their Easter best would be downsized to a new sleeveless dress or a button-down shirt tucked neatly into a crisp pair of pants. My big sister Sherry and I never even had one new item to wear, since our parents had seemingly made a covenant to boycott church and give praise and thanks to Jesus from afar. As our friends attended Sunday school and children's Bible study, we looked at TV in our pajamas, oblivious to the connection between our friends' new clothing and religious or spiritual matters. The only preacher I was familiar with loomed larger than life on our TV set, Reverend Ike, whose silky smooth hair reminded me of the beautiful coif of a family friend. Every Sunday, I would tune in as Reverend Ike stirred his congregation like a pot of boiling grits, inciting them with messages of prosperity and the Lord's promise. He was one of the original charismatic preachers who had no shame in his game when it came to serving up sermons about abundance. And we gentle sheep were hungry recipients. News clips showed him tooling down 125th Street in Harlem, New York, in a supersized Rolls Royce, with his pomade Latin hair untouched by the gusting wind. Although my parents were raised in the church, whatever baptism they had received hadn't whet their appetite enough to seek spiritual deliverance. My dad grew up Catholic, but traded the church's pie-in-the-sky promises for a life offering earthly gain. The threat of starving to death sometimes invites you to make a deal with the devil, or at least stand on your own two feet in the world. I'm not sure if my maternal granddad's prominent role in the Baptist church and community affected my mom's religious choices, or if being force-fed religion just left a bad taste in her mouth. When we got older, she would only say she had long ago decided when she had kids she'd let them make their own decisions about church. But since religion was never discussed in our house, we never knew we had any choices to make. Sometimes Sherry and I would go to church with family friends. We would sit for what seemed like a lifetime, taking turns nodding and hitting and pinching each other on the sly as the pastor launched into a sermon of salvation or sin. Sometimes the current of energy would ignite when a woman, usually wearing a jaw-dropping mega-sized hat, would get the Holy Ghost, hands flailing, feet bucking under her, with her body as loose as a noodle. One of the nurses, or were they usherettes, would rush to fan her, helping her to her feet, only to release her as she lifted her skirt and did the happy dance while speaking in tongues. I was perplexed by this spectacular display, wondering to myself how someone could act in this manner without getting a stern talking to, particularly since I usually got a spanking when I showed out like that. Sometimes the choir would invite the Holy Spirit to come and stay a while with tear-jerking renditions of Waiting in the Water or Amazing Grace. We would clap our hands and try to sing along, silently moving our lips, waiting for the fellowship time when everyone turned to their left and right to give a hug or a kiss or share a bit of Jesus's good news. Sherry and I were sheep needing a shepherd to lead us to our salvation. In the meantime, we'd have to settle for the piece of the pie our parents served up in loving slices. We wouldn't have to wait. Possibly we could eat our pie now and maybe go to heaven later. I don't know when I first thought of a God living in the sky above. I always loved nature, so I knew someone spectacular and magical had created all the beauty and wonder I reveled in every day. I loved to pick daisies, splitting their stems in half so I could fashion them into a crown, or walk barefoot in the grass with the blades tickling my toes. I loved honeybees and butterflies and hummingbirds with their rapid-fire gyrations. And I could hear the trees speaking to me with vibrations of energy I felt when I'd swing as high as I could, trying my best to pump my way to the sky. When I first read the poem Footprints, I thought of my younger self, needing a friend who wouldn't judge me or tell me to hush and go to my room. Someone who wouldn't verbally assault me when I ate to fill the loneliness and confusion, or tell me I was cute but fat and that my best move would be to just pull away from the table. God carried me during those times, rocking me like the baby I really was, squeezing me tight as I cried on the inside and longed for a cool towel folded just right to fit across my forehead. I believe even back then I knew I was a child of the Most High God, and that one day I would find the words I needed to thank Him for carrying me through the sandstorm of my youth and lending me a shoulder to cry on. Today, I honor all those hallelujah moments and revel in the goodness of God's grace. And let the church say, Amen.